expressed in the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Being Found Show, the greatest one-hour terrestrial slash podcast radio show about small business in the entire world.
That's right.
I'm working on my drama.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Great. So, we are a show helping small business to get found on the web, and that's what we're going to help you do today. You know, first up, we got a little bit of local news for our local listeners. There's a giveaway here in town.
Yeah, just to let everyone know, literally starting 6 minutes ago, Reiner Slaughter is giving away 1,000 life jackets to children under the age of 14. So if you've got kids under 14, go to their office, you can go to their website and find out all the details there. But free life jackets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, for people not from the area, they may not know that we are really sort of based in summer tourism because we're surrounded by lakes, and this is a real nice thing to do here locally.
Yeah, and it, you know, the whole thing is to promote boating safety, so.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Good deal.
All right, so up here on the Being Found show today, we've been asked to sort of cover backlinking and how to get started and really what backlinking is. I feel like it's one of those buzzwords. I'm constantly talking to clients or people, and they're just, oh, well, how many backlinks do they have? You know, they always want to know how many. Oh, well, we got like 5 new backlinks. Sorry. And the idea of like having the backlinks is everybody's looking for a quantifiable number, and we all tend to be. It's just, as you dig deeper, you know, what is that quantifiable number, you know? So it's really not the amount of backlinks. I mean, you could have 5 terrible backlinks that could straight up hurt you. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should explain what a backlink is. I think the word itself is somewhat self-explanatory. But so you got your website, and there is another website with a link on it that links back to you. That, in its simplest form, is what a backlink is. And then to help people understand how backlinks help you, I figure we should probably cover that as well. My easiest way to explain how SEO works to help people understand is, on the most rudimentary level, you think of your website as a colander. And there's 2 ways to hold liquid in the colander. There's pour more liquid into it, and there's plug more holes. So on-site optimization, when you go through your website and you do little things to make it great, you're plugging holes. And when you're doing stuff that's not on your website, you're pouring more juice into it. And really, bottom line is, if you have more juice in your colander than your competitor, you're going to get more traffic. But that being said, there are some backlinks that are maybe like pouring acid in there. Poking more holes, you know. Yeah. But it's really, really rare. You know, people are always talking like, we're going to disavow links. We're going to go through. We're going to do all this stuff. You know, Google doesn't really penalize you for the little stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they really kind of come through, and they tend to warn you when they do, you know. So there's not a lot of blacklisting going on. People would have you believe that. So our show today, backlinks, what they are, how it's important. So, you know, we've told you that. We've told you how they work. And so when you're listening to your SEO company, you're going to hear a lot about citations. What a citation is, as opposed to a backlink. Now, a lot of citations come with a link, but a citation is like, don't think about getting pulled over for driving too fast. Think about a book, citing another book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any mention of your business on another site that isn't linked back is what's considered a citation. And these citations or mentions, You know, normally a citation is more like a profile or something like that. A mention might be that somebody's talking about you in a big paragraph and they happen to mention you. So this show is basically going to cover a lot of the strategies for really getting started with backlinking, expanding on that a little bit, and then maybe some more advanced stuff. But before we get into that, we definitely need to throw out there that the best way to build backlinks is by creating quality content, creating a need or fulfilling a need, you know. So if you write a great article and a bunch of people share it and a bunch of people talk about it and a bunch of people link back to it, you know, to hit you with the buzzword if it goes viral, you know, there is no better backlinking situation than that. Because a lot of backlinking, you know, you're manually going out there and you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big list of sites and you're going through and you're saying, hey, please, 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 please. You know, but if you write this great stuff, you know, all internet users are consumers. You know, here Jake and I are creators, but so I'm sure we all fall victim to clickbait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in SEO, we have what's called linkbait. Basically, we've created something, we've created an article, we've created a resource, something that's funny for our industry, and it caused people to see it, link to it, share it, linkbait. You know, so that is really ultimately the best way to do things. But the rest of the show is really going to dig through how you get started because, you know, there's this like a reverse point of no return, this point where you could have the greatest, funniest idea that everybody's going to like and everybody's going to share. And you can put it out there, put it on your website to no traffic, and share it on your Facebook to your grandma and your aunt. And really, it's just not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's definitely the foundational stuff that you kind of have to do to create those audiences and create those create an environment where if you do create this great content, people are likely to pick up on.
Yeah, so you can't fake it. It's got to have some value,
right?
And
you have to have somebody to show it to.
Yeah,
you know, if nobody comes, you know, the internet is it's ridiculous. Field of Dreams, but if you build it, they will come. Is not the case on the internet.
Yeah.
Right. It's about as likely as you building a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of a middle America and having it be super populated by people from all over the world, including dead guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, I heard that happen.
Right. It's about as likely. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about your first step to creating backlinks for your website. You know, if you're a business owner, this is still interesting because you can make sure that your SEO company is doing these things. Come on back. You're listening to The Beaten Found Show. Somebody somewhere is fighting today. So much to say, and so little that to say. Think I'm alive, leave it alive. I'm alive to leave and
hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
We want you to count, we want you to hear, we want you to dance, dance all night long, but when the music starts...
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks and creating backlinks for your websites. And, you know, even right down to SEO companies and marketing companies, they have a hard time doing backlinks.
Yeah, it's tough work.
You know, backlinks is like the jump from local marketing to national marketing, and the jump from highly competitive local marketing, because a lot of the ranking factors for local, basically there's much more important ranking factors for local until you start hitting this competition level or unless you're able to get these really massive backlinks. You know, so for local, as long as you're focusing on reviews and your citations and on-site optimization, you got all that wrapped up, but you're still not getting up in there, you know, that's when you start focusing on some backlinks and making sure that, you know, you're doing some battle. You know, as ridiculous as this sounds, really marketing in general, especially on the internet where it's numbers and quantifiable and stuff like that, you know, in the real world, it maybe gets a little more abstract, but in the virtual world, it really is a strategic battle of numbers.
Yeah, very trackable.
Right. Yeah. You know, and what your enemy has, you know, you need to have too. They have 10 troops, we need 10 troops, but we need that 11th troop with a bazooka.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how to put it. I don't know my warfare. All right, so up here we got cleaning up what you have. So your website inevitably has some backlinks out there, and really a big part of this is taking those backlinks and really finding out where they are and where they aren't. That sounds ridiculous, but maybe I'll just explain how to do this, and this will come through in what exactly it is. So in Google, there's things called search operators. So, like, let's say I want to go to the dance, and I search for I want to go to the dance. And I get a bunch of results, and they're not what I want. And but I want to make sure that the word dance is included in all of the pages. So I say, I want to go to the dance in quotes. I put dance in quotes. And that word dance will show up in all of my results no matter what. Now, if I put, I want to go to the dance in quotes entirely, I will only get results that contain the phrase, I want to go to the dance. Mm-hmm. And this is what we use to really sort of find where our backlinks are. So we search for our own business name. And then if you have a site with a reasonable amount of content on it, there's also a search operator to exclude your own website. So you don't have to go through those URLs. So now we're left with a list of websites that mention your business by name. And then we start going through those. We start looking at each one of those, and we say, is this business information right? Is there a link here? Is the link correct? You know, we make sure that all of these are cleaned up, and we check them off. Another thing that you need to remember is that we're going through and we're making sure that these things are right.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning there might be a lot out there that are wrong. So if you put the quotes on there, you might want to loosen that up and even put variations of your business name or
an old business name.
Or an old business. Oh, especially an old business name. Yeah. If you haven't done that cleanup, if you made a change like that or you purchased the company.
Yeah. If you're an LLC, try it with, without. There's going to be a lot of different variations out there you want to check on.
Right. And so you basically just want to go through and verify. You're going to find that a lot of this stuff is actually accurate, but that's good to know. It's good to know that it's out there and accurate. But you're also going to find quite a few situations where it is not accurate. To me, what I tend to find that's not accurate has little to do with backlinking, but it does have to do with your trust factor and reputation is the phone number. It's always some sort of screwy combination of, oh, that's my personal number, oh, that's our Google Voice number, oh, that's the old office number, you know. It's like they don't have a set number that they use, or it's constantly evolving with technology, you know. Because, like, I was giving my phone number to somebody last night, ran into an old friend, and his wife, he can't figure out how to work the phone, apparently. Sorry, Scott. So his wife's putting it into the phone, and she asked me if she's putting it in, and she's all, this is mobile, right? And I'm just all, I totally forgot there was anything other than mobile.
Like, nope, that's our landline.
Yeah, I haven't had a landline in like years, you know. Basically, I had a landline until I think my youngest kid got a cell phone when she was like 10 or 11. So that was like 7 years ago. So I haven't had a landline for 7 years.
I do want to add one thing, and this is an issue that I've bumped into recently that you kind of just touched on, and that is that we have a client who has some pretty sophisticated marketing set up on their website. So depending on where you come to the website from, it changes the phone number in the header. Google picked up on this and changed it in Google My Business. Mm-hmm. So we had to call them and say, hey, why did you change our phone number? And they said, well, this is the one we found in your header. But when we get on, it's actually a completely different phone number. Is there, can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I definitely can. And I would say that make sure that so what this is call tracking. And so there's a JavaScript sort of thing going like, if the referring URL is this, then show this number, right? So they probably have some sort of Google AdWords that has a call tracking number. And basically Google got there via their own AdWords link and said, hey, this is the number, so we're going to populate it with this, because they figure that Google AdWords is very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Does this site have schema or HCard or any of that stuff on it?
They do, yeah.
Okay, so we might address some of that and make sure that there are primary and secondary numbers and sort of secretly slip in those numbers, those other numbers, into schema as secondary numbers and give ourselves a primary location number in that schema for Google to basically come through.
Okay.
And then also the way they set up their call tracking might be a problem. So you might be going directly to the site and seeing the phone number that you want, right? But the way that this call tracking works is that it's based off the referring URL. So where did this come from? This person, when they put in their call tracking for this AdWords, they might have been a little too loose, and this number might be switching for any traffic from Google, not just for the AdWords.
Hmm.
And so you might search the business, follow that link, and see what phone number is showing up.
So just to kind of reel it all in, because that was the headiest conversation I think we've had on the show in a while. No, it's okay. So as you have your website, make sure you're being consistent in the phone numbers you're using and where you're putting them, making sure you identify your primary and secondary numbers, hopefully so that Google and other bots that crawl your site can identify that primary phone that you use as your phone number.
Right. So if you're having a problem with a secondary number being acknowledged as a primary, let's make it clear it's a secondary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right, so, obviously this is a prime example of we're going through websites and we find things on these off sites that are not accurate, you know, and really what we're dealing there with the phone number is either a mention or a citation. So another thing to do for cleaning up your backlinks when you're dealing with what you have is, of course, searching for your domain name.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you just leave off the www. You just type in example.com. Because, that'll be all-encompassing. And once again, you go through the list and you make sure that all that stuff is accurate. And you look for link possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, like we were saying, is searching for your phone number specifically. But now that you bring that up, I would say search for all those secondary phone numbers as well. Because you might find quite a few things that need to be cleaned up. And quite a few backlinking possibilities at the time.
Yeah, as smart as these bots are, they're still pretty stupid.
they're still bots.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. But on our other show, we were talking about this, that you have to be careful. My buddy John, my wife makes fun of John saying that he has an abusive relationship with Alexa, you know, because he's constantly, like, yelling at that thing and, like, telling it to shut up. And, like, he's totally just abusive to
her. Wow.
Yeah.
That poor thing.
Yeah, but Alexa someday, man, it's going to grow some legs. And
Alexa is Skynet.
Yeah. Alexa's going to bring this situation down. But, so your number one best place to get started with building backlinks is to clean up what you have. And track it. You need to start that list. And, before you start adding this new stuff to it, you add it all to a list, and you go through and you check it off. Has it been done? Is it been done? If you're reaching out to people, when did I reach out to them, and have they gotten back to me? You know, I got to warn you, a lot of them are not going to get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just sort of the way of the internet, man. More pages created every day than people on the planet, probably.
Yeah. And, developing that consistency over a lot of different sites is really going to – I think that was – Moz actually made a pie chart. I'll see if maybe we can put it in this in the blog when we put this on the website.
Yeah.
That pie chart shows local ranking factors by percentage, and this link building was way up there. It was in the top three for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of SEO companies that work solely off of link building.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go and you hire them, and you say, oh, well, do you need access to my website in order to clean up this, that, and the other thing? They don't even want it. They just go out there, and they build your links. Thousands upon thousands of links, and most of them are shady. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. Shady's not the right word. Most of them are not very powerful. You know, they're not ones that are going to hurt you.
But,
takes a lot to get a link that's going to hurt you. You know, I don't want to cover any shady topics, but I'm sure all of you can think of all the topics and types of websites that you probably don't want links from.
Do we have time to talk about what a non-helpful link might look like if someone's trying to sell you one?
Yeah. We'll cover it real quick. We're about to go to commercial. So a non-helpful link or a bad backlink definitely would come from a site dealing with, pornography or something like that. or what's called a link wheel, where they're basically, let's say you have thousands of backlinks coming into your site that all say the same thing, or they're all coming from a personal blog network. One guy owns it all coming from one IP address, and he's sort of trying to manipulate backlinks. You know, and that's where those shady things okay. come from. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come back, there's more about backlinking, leveling the playing field with your competitors.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wet.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
All right, welcome back to The Being Found Show. We're talking about backlinks for your small, medium-sized business and making sure that you're out there. Coming up here, we're going to be talking about leveling the playing field with your competitors. But first, we got a quick tip here, Jake.
Yeah, so we're going to start doing these quick tips from time to time. And this week is our first one, so...
So no introduction music?
No. Well, drum roll. There we go.
Jake.
So this week's quick tip is build an automated email marketing campaign. Now, what that means is you can get on to MailChimp for free and set up emails to go out when people do certain things on your websites. Now, you also have to have them opt into that that email. But once you've done it, here's some quick statistics on what that means. So the channel continues to outperform all others, and research is showing that you get a return of your investment of around 4,300%, which is huge. I mean,
yeah. So for the math out there for you, you know, 100% is like all of it. 4,300% is 43 all of it.
43 times.
Yeah.
At least. So 80% of people say they've received marketing message alongside their personal emails on a daily basis. So that's for those people who say, well, they never get them. Actually, they do. 70% of people say they use coupons or discounts they get from that email. And 60% of people say receiving special offers is the top reason they subscribe to an email list from a business. So if you especially have an e-commerce store, really consider using an automated emailing campaign to drive customers to buy your products.
So this is not necessarily like sign up for our newsletter stuff. This is like when I go to a website and they pop up the box that says, do you want to receive updates and stuff like that from this website? And so that's why it's always popping up, because basically if I visit that website again 10 weeks from now, it's going to say, hey, you were here, and let's send them something enticing to get them more interested.
Yeah, and in my email inbox, I've got no less than 10 or 15 emails that say, hey, July 4th sale coming up.
Right.
Now, I may not even want to buy anything right now, but if I did, you can bet I'm going to go to one of those sales I know that I have in my inbox.
Mostly hot dogs and fireworks.
Well, yeah.
Big, huge sale on hot dogs
and
fireworks.
In my case, I bought a mattress recently, so they're all mattress companies. But
right. Oh, yeah. Mattresses, man. The radio, the world is just like full of like mattress activity.
That's right.
It's
an industry that's changed because of technology, big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the old sales model, and they're still in town. You go, and it's like a car lot. You test drive your mattress. There's a salesman. He bites your ankle as soon as you go in, and you drag him around the shop floor.
Bites your ankle. And
but now... Now you go online, you choose your firmness level, you choose your whatever you want, and they mail it to your door. You have 100 nights to sleep on it. If you don't like it, they'll send someone to pick it up, offer to exchange it, or you just go somewhere else.
Really?
Yes. And it's so easy. I don't have a truck, so I couldn't transport one, but, I mean,
right.
I digress. We're way off topic.
I don't know. This is important because my wife and I have had the same mattress for an embarrassing amount of time, and I'm not even willing to admit how long it is.
The mattress industry has changed because of e-commerce.
All right.
It's huge.
So I'm getting into mattresses. Next show, all about mattresses. But for now, we're going to return to backlink building for your website. And in the first segment, we talked about sort of establishing what you have and making sure that what you have is on par and ready to go and all that stuff. And now this next one is going to be about leveling the playing field. You know, a lot of the tactics are the same as the first one, but instead we're going to apply it to our competitors. So, you know, a great way to start here is to figure out what backlinks do your biggest competitors have.
Hmm.
Now, just like you, they're going to have a lot of terrible, terrible links, you know. So a good way to narrow this down is, like, let's say get our three biggest competitors, and we find out what backlinks they have. And then we find out which backlinks they share. Because chances are they're doing battle with one another, and here we are coming to the field, and we're going to do some battle. So basically, remember, we're dealing with a colander and pouring juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pour the exact same juice in our colander that they're getting in their colander.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you start. And then if you want to narrow it down further, of course, you know, this is a one-by-one basis. This is going through. This is making sure that things happen. So you can narrow it down by saying, okay, here are my three competitors. Here are the backlinks that they share. Now let's figure out the quality of those backlinks that they share, and let's start with the best and work our way down, because that's where we're going to get the most bang for our buck.
And are you familiar with any tools you can use to determine the quality?
I tend to use Moz.
Okay.
You know, but you know, Moz can be a little expensive, so there are some other tools out there that are free and stuff like that. But really, if you're planning on doing some competition, you know, Moz is a great tool to own.
Okay.
You know, your next step might be to figure out what backlinks your allies have, you know. Consider this warfare, you know. I know it sounds terrible, but it is. You know, you are doing warfare, and you have allies. Unfortunately, your allies are also your competitors' allies a lot of the time. Because your allies are your suppliers and your marketers, people who are making money off of the industry and sending you leads and so on and so forth, or sending you equipment. So by finding out the backlinks that they have, we now have a whole new list to basically say, what's the good quality stuff in here and what can we go after here?
Hmm.
And then you're doing the same thing that you're doing when you were researching yourself. So just in case that moved too quickly through there. So we get our competitor, and we're going to search up our competitor's name. And we're going to search up their domain name, and we're going to search up their phone number. And this is where we're going to get the list of sites that reference back to these other sites. And really, that's what you're doing, you know. And that will take up a huge amount of time, frankly. You know, that's why you definitely want to be careful and organize them in the realm of something more. Now, all that being said, there is a lot you can do to move beyond cleaning up your presence and basically mooching off of your competitor's presence. Chances are you're not going to get to the next stuff for months unless you're paying somebody, and that somebody is really, you know, contributing a lot of time. A lot of people go, well, I pay my SEO guy $500 a month. I pay him $500 a month. All this stuff should have been taken care of, right? Well, let's break that down. Let's say your SEO company makes $50 an hour. And that's shooting it probably a little low. That means that they are basically doing 2.5 hours worth of work for you a week. And so, no, it's not necessarily all done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to realize that just like any other war, it is not only a battle on the battlefield, it's a battle of resources. And that's why when you're a lawyer, you are spending thousands of dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are a hot dog shop, you are not.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we're coming up on the break here, but let's start into going with our next steps, because some of these you can really start now, although you won't see the fruits of your labors until later. And a great one to start right off the bat is building relationships. Involving yourself with industry, social media. Now, I am not talking about involving yourself with social media and your fans and stuff like that. I'm talking about industry leaders, other people in your industry, marketing, like people who are supplying you with things, you know, basically influencers who are able to get that stuff out there. So we're coming up on commercial break. We're going to cover that a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to The Being Found Show.
You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind. You know, my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping car fire relief. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with Floater, Lit, Candlebox, and headliners AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket, all, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to car fire relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for car fire relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. We are talking about building backlinks for your website. We've already covered how to make sure that the backlinks that you have are quality and well done and put together correctly and linking to the right places. And then our second dig into that one was exploiting your competitors' backlinks and making sure that you got the same stuff. Because remember, we talked at the beginning that SEO is a lot like a colander. When you're working on-site, you're plugging holes, and when you're doing things like backlinks, you're pouring in water. Your goal is to have more water than your competitors. So before we went to break, we were talking about building relationships, and that's something you can do in the beginning, but it's really sort of a more advanced tactic that's going to help you later. But, you know, getting started now with quality relationships, sharing other people's stuff, and getting out there. So, you know, it might be a little confusing. You know, a lot of companies, like, let's say I'm a plumber, and I want to get out there and I want to be the best I can be in the online plumbing community, which, for those of you that snirked a little there, yes, there's an online plumbing community.
Right. You know. And plumbers make a great deal of money, too.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. They definitely can.
Yeah,
they'll make more with more backlinks, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So Your goal is not necessarily to show off to your competitors how great you are. So bear this in mind when you're on there. You know, starting relationships with companies that use plumbers. So basically, let's say I have a construction company that I have a relationship with, and I always share and like their stuff. You know, they're going to come through and do the same for me. So I don't want to go through and find a bunch of plumbing companies to be friends with. I want to find a bunch of potential partnerships to be friends with. And this moves right into the next one, which is like mentioning other businesses in posts and shares. Any business that's out there sort of doing this higher level of battle is going to be tracking their own name and their own mentions. And so when you're out there mentioning other people who you're finding being impressed, once again, not your competitors, but sort of industry partnerships. I guess, you know, a lot of you out there are probably familiar with lead groups. So this is not unlike an impromptu lead group. You know, you're not surrounding yourselves with other plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
You are surrounding yourselves with other people that use plumbers and other people that can help you and you can help them. You know, so you're creating this sort of impromptu lead group. So mentioning these other businesses and stuff like that can really start that to happen. Or mentioning, even like in our industry, mentioning a tool, you know, mentioning a website, you know, something like that. Hey, we got this great information from Moz.com. And then a company like Moz is much more apt to come along and get it and share it on their social media because they picked that up.
Yep.
another one is to recover your dead backlinks. This is maybe a little technical, so we'll run over it really quick. But in Google My Business, not Google, but My Business, sorry. It's early. I'm only halfway through my cup of coffee. In Google Webmaster Tools, you can extract a list of backlinks to your website. And in doing so, you can figure out what pages they link to, and if the pages they link to are even there anymore. So if you have a bunch of backlinks that are going to what's called a 404 on your site, which is no response code, you can clean that up and redirect that page to a relevant page. You know, and that's really a big deal, especially when you start hitting a larger site, because 404s can really go unchecked if you start to lose track of them. So this one's kind of a funny one. Another fun one for exploiting your competition. So when you're building a website, there's trust factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that trust factor is where do I link to? You know, so let's say I'm doing a page about Redding, California. I'm going to link to Redding.gov. I'm going to link to Redding's Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of places that people link to. And this is all important for your SEO, to have outbound links of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because people always think that, you know, your number, just to remind you, your number one goal is to get people to your website to convert, to give you money. Your number two goal is to help people online move across the internet with ease and quality. If you're confused about what that means, go to Being Found. You can check it on one of our last shows. It should be labeled on there. I don't have it in front of me. But basically, you do have a secondary goal for those that don't convert because it's good for SEO. So all of your competitors, chances are they're linking to specific websites because they're playing the game as well. So let's say I have three competing plumbers that are all linking to John's Pipe Supply. If I go to John's Pipe Supply and I get a backlink from that page on John's Pipe Supply, not only am I getting a backlink from John's Pipe Supply, but my own competitors are inadvertently backing up the link and making my link stronger that's going to my site.
I love it.
Right.
This really is combat right now.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure if that was, like, too confusing, but that's exploiting your competitors' backlinks. Basically, wherever your competitors are linking to most, if we can get links from there,
mm-hmm.
we are getting super strong industry links because we're getting all of our competitors basically linking to us through a chain, at least. Turn your mentions into backlinks. This one's time-consuming, something that you can start right off the bat. We kind of talked about this a little bit in the second segment, but this might help. Is basically, when you're going through and you find mentions of your site, remember, mention is your site being referred to, mentioned, but not necessarily linked. When you find that, you can write to the website and ask them to mm-hmm. link to you, especially if you have a page that's somewhat relevant to what they're talking about on their page. Because remember, their secondary goal is to help people along their merry way on the internet. And so if on your site, where they're mentioning you, you have something of relevance to continue, you write to that that website and you say, hey, why don't you turn this mention into a backlink and send them to this page.
And don't get discouraged if you don't get anything back. I've been doing this actually all week. building links for a client, and I think my average right now, although it's a short time to tell, is about 2 out of 10 might get back to me.
I think that's a pretty good number.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's statistically a pretty good number.
Good.
Yeah. And that might seem bad, but let's say our competitor isn't doing this, and so now you're getting 2 backlinks a week, and your competitor is getting none.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. You know, you got 2 that the other guy doesn't have. So.
Right, right. So well done. In a year, you basically got 104 backlinks. Yeah. And then this sort of last one here is find submission opportunities. Earlier, we were talking about search operators, you know, which is allowing you to search for specific things, like in quotes. That's something that people always use. If you were to search for your industry and maybe the term write for us or submit an article or something like that, you'd be able to find industry-specific things for, I guess we're working off of plumbing here, where you're able to submit content to them, and by submitting them content, get a link back to your website.
Yeah, a great way to do this if I've got time here. It's
you do.
Yeah, have a local event. Make sure, this is going to cost money, so mm-hmm. you have to realize that right up front. Have a local event. It can be something as simple as a hot dog feed and showing what your business does. Then go out to all the community calendars in your area and say, hey, we're having this hot dog feed, free hot dogs, free sodas. That's a minimal cost, and you're getting these community calendars and maybe some local news organizations Absolutely. To link back to you.
Yeah.
Great way to develop links, and all for the cost of a couple hundred hot dogs.
Right, right, which is basically $3?
Yeah.
Especially if you go through Jake's email.
And Costco.
Get the 4th of July Costco.
That's right.
Discount coupon. All right. But, jokes aside, you're absolutely right. And really, if you want to get real tricky, you don't even actually really have to have an event. You could have some sort of, giveaway on your website mm-hmm. where we give this away. We got 5 T-shirts, and we're giving them away on our website on August 8th. You know, come to our website, sign up. You can drop off a ticket in the front door. And we're going to give away 8 of these on social media after mm-hmm. the fact. We're going to put it in all of the calendars that this is going on, and then we're going to share it on social media, and then we're going to put it out there, and then we're going to give them to people, and then we're going to share those on social media as well, people wearing our stupid shirt.
All that, and you're just getting rid of inventory you can't move.
Right, exactly. You know, so there's a lot of great opportunity out there for backlinks. You know, you just got to get creative and... Really, it's just like anything else. Picasso, what did Picasso say?
I like paint.
Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, so, just take what these other people are doing, tweak it for you, and get it out there. You're listening to The Being Found Show. Check us out next week. Check us out at beingfound.com. And get online.
That's right.
I'm not afraid to die. The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Day four of Senate hearings on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh devoted to expert witnesses on both sides.
On the fourth and final day of confirmation hearings, Brett Kavanaugh got a big thumbs up from the American Bar Association.
We gave him the highest rating possible, which is unanimously well qualified.
John Tarpley led that investigation.
He is a person of the highest morality and the highest ethics. He is what he seems, very decent, humble, and honest.
On the nominee's politics, Ted Olson, who's argued several cases before the high court, says you can't always expect to face justices who hold your political views.
But we can aspire to a judiciary that will be prepared, perceptive, competent, open-minded, honest, and respectful. That is the jurist. That is Brett Kavanaugh.
And that report from correspondent Wally Hines. Vice President Mike Pence campaigned in Las Vegas last night on behalf of GOP Senator Dean Heller.
I want to thank Senator Dean Heller. It is remarkable to think of the work that he's done here. Not only he's a tenacious champion for our armed forces, tenacious champion for Nellis Air Force Base.
Meanwhile, President Trump and former President Obama can be expected to face off several times between now and the November midterm elections.
Barack Obama is not on the ballot, but he's campaigning this fall against President Trump and his allies. After staying mostly silent since leaving office, Obama kicked off his fall tour in Illinois and bluntly criticized the sitting president for seizing on Americans' fear and resentment. In remarks on Friday, Mr. Trump responded by claiming he fell asleep watching Obama's speech. The president also said that his predecessor was trying to take credit for the strong economy.
That is White House correspondent Greg Clarkson reporting. More on these stories from townhall.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-452-6990. That's 800-452-6990. 800-452-6990 or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Looks like Florence could cause some life-threatening surf and rip currents along parts of the U.S. East Coast over the weekend as the storm swirls around in the Atlantic. Not clear whether it will regain hurricane strength, but it's the uncertainty that's as dangerous as anything, according to Dennis Felchin at the National Hurricane Center in Miami.
There's still very large uncertainty in the model forecast of Florence's track beyond day five. That makes it too soon to determine the exact location, magnitude, and timing of the impacts.
Yesterday, the storm had maximum sustained winds of 65 miles an hour. President Trump said on Friday he is prepared to impose tariffs on an additional $267 billion in Chinese imports. Such a step would significantly escalate his trade war with Beijing and likely increase costs for a broad range of U.S. businesses and consumers. Despite those concerns, the economy added 201,000 jobs in August. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Hiring picked up in August as U.S. employers had a lot of jobs and overall the economy showed signs of strength, including higher wages.
Very solid in August, so we had a gain of 201,000 jobs over the month. That's about what we've seen throughout the year, and the job market continues to improve.
Economist Gus Fouché with PNC Financial Services Group. Rafael Nadal's troubled knee pushed Juan Martín del Potro into the finals tomorrow at the U.S. Men's Open. He'll go up against Novak Djokovic, who says he will be prepared.
I've played him many times on different occasions. We've never faced each other in a Grand Slam final, so that's something new. But I know what's expecting me, and I'll try to prepare myself as best as I can.
Nadal's knee injury allowed Del Potro to return to a Grand Slam final for the first time since he won the 2009 U.S. Open. More details on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Happy Labor Day. You are listening to your very own special show about the paranormal and everything spooky and strange and awesome. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. Sean,
hello.
How are you doing this week?
Pretty good.
Sean, you seem to be like my yin to my yang of like being a treasure trove of totally pointless knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm a treasure trove of any knowledge, to be honest.
Pointless knowledge, I think you can confidently say.
Pointless knowledge? Maybe.
Might be a little bit of a oxymoron, but... yeah. So Jared and I are out front before the show starts, and there's some little Boy Scout taking down all the flags.
Of course.
For Labor Day. And they drop one on the ground.
Okay. Now, and so he was shot on sight.
Yeah.
Next anecdote. Solve this one.
So this is one of those American laws I've always been, or not laws, but
customs. You might say.
Like burning the flag is bad, but sure. Aren't you supposed to burn the flag if it's touched the ground, like cremated or something?
You know, of the pointless knowledge that I am a treasure trove of, like the proper handling and care and feeding of the American flag. Not really.
The proper feeding. Yeah.
I don't know. It is not really in my area of expertise, but I understand that, yes, when... I don't know if you're supposed to burn a flag if it touches the ground, but I think once it's become old and tattered or whatever, you don't keep flying it. You know, fold it up in some proper way, and then you burn it.
So you do burn the flag.
I believe...
I find that law to be a little confusing. I mean, I know it's not a law. I find that custom to be a little confusing.
You know, I'm sure I'm saying exactly the wrong thing here, and I'm going to inspire a bunch of people to go out and burn their flags, and then they won't get into, you know,
I don't
USA
think that's going to be a
something.
Problem. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem, you know. But, and just as a reminder to people, it is not a law. It is totally 100% legal to burn
sure.
your flags.
Of course. Because it's the First Amendment and so
that's
forth.
That's because we're Americans. Now.
Exactly.
It's definitely frowned upon.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting you don't go do it.
I mean...
And if you drop yours on the ground and it gets all dirty and you decide to lay it to rest...
I think
you might want to research that on the internet and not follow orders.
I think you're allowed to, like, launder them, though.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So,
but
I
heard, like, it's never supposed
to
touch the ground, you know?
I don't know. Maybe the custom has changed a little bit over the years.
Totally. As with the invention of OxyClean...
Right.
Now things are different.
Now, okay, so here's the funny thing. We're two people having a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And normally in a conversation at this point, one of us would Google it and just, like, pause for a little while, and there would be this awkward silence. But we
right.
can't do that because we're on the radio.
No, yeah.
So in a way, we're actually considerably less knowledgeable.
That's true. Yeah.
Than two regular guys just having a conversation.
Right. So our conversation is a lot like dinner with your parents. You're not allowed to Google it.
Oh, but I Google things at dinner with my parents. We all do. No, it's 2018. We just sit around a table looking at our phones.
Both my parents have passed on, but my dad definitely would not have had that. That'd be a no.
Okay, yeah. Well.
But he was old, crotchety.
Exactly.
You know.
So, yeah, this is the paradox of media, I guess. Here we are, and we have the platform, but because of the platform, we can't, strictly speaking, give you accurate or well-researched information.
Right. And so seeing how it's Labor Day, we're sitting here talking about flags and what you should do with them. And so I have another bit of American news here that I think is kind of interesting. That is that Donald Trump thinks that... Now let's take this out of this.
Sorry, you just said his name.
I know.
It was
chill, relaxed. Man. Chill.
Okay, I'm chill.
All right,
chill.
Donald Trump thinks that Google is out to get him.
Sure.
And you know,
he is very old.
Well, that. Oh God, do we have enough time for this? Yeah, Jasmine, my daughter was like,
"Kids, quit moving my reading glasses."
Right, Jasmine was reading me something to the effect of like people making fun of her hand generation. And for not being able to do handwriting, and they're just all, oh, yeah, well, Grandma, you can't turn on your laptop without getting 4 viruses and giving all your money to a Nigerian prince.
Oh, no
kidding.
So
it's like, yeah, so Donald Trump thinks that Google's out to get him. I have a day job of doing SEO.
Right, you search understand engine the internet to the extent that
and
anyone
so,
does.
Personally, I don't think that Google is out to get him.
No.
But it is an interesting conspiracy because it does add to the potential of that side of the New World Order and stuff like that. But but when my kid's asking me in the car, she's just all, so what do you think that means, that Donald Trump thinks Google's out to get him? I'm all, well, I think it means he doesn't know how Google works.
Sure.
You know, because it can be swayed because of the popular searches of what people are searching up.
Yeah.
And what people that don't really understand this stuff, including Donald Trump, don't realize is that when somebody in the limelight does something negative,
mm-hmm.
both sides are searching for it by that negative term.
Sure.
That's spiking the search results in that negative term, causing that negative term to show up as number one. You know, so even if you say, you know, Dick Cheney shot that guy in the face, or did Dick Cheney shoot that guy in the face, or Dick Cheney definitely didn't shoot that guy in the face, all of those search terms are going to spike on Dick Cheney, shoot, guy, and face.
Right.
You know, and that's just the way that the internet works. And for those people who think that Google is so aware of their algorithm that they can tell you what's going to come up, they can't. It is just way too complex. It is, for any of you musicians or audio fans out there, let's say I have my guitar and I have distortion and I have reverb, and I run through my distortion pedal, it distorts the signal, and then I put reverb on it. It's now added echo to my distorted signal. Mm-hmm. If I move those two around, I am now getting an echoed guitar and adding distortion to the echo of the guitar. So by moving the algorithms around, you're creating variations, but Google has so many of these going on that nobody actually knows at Google how it works.
Sure.
And so people don't understand.
So we have the analogy that is perfectly comprehensible to people who are audio nerds.
Right. Yeah, totally. Well, I figure everybody is here, you know.
Oh, well, not me. But
we got our buddy Connor here sitting in.
That's true.
Going to school up there, and he's learning a little bit about this. I bet you some of that audio stuff rang a bell with Connor. See? Target audience.
He's nodding. Okay, he's nodding. Okay. Well,
all right.
You were right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in fairness to Donald Trump, the concept that Google is conspiring against him did not originate with him.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to, you know, come down on Donald Trump, because I'm aware that he's not the first.
Well, it originated on a news program that reported, you know, pretty much without basis, hey, the news is discriminating against Donald Trump, and he kind of picked up that idea and ran with it.
Right.
But, and you know, I don't think he did any thinking about, you know, the ins and outs of it. He just repeated what he heard.
Right, and the news is leaning on Donald Trump. I mean, that is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, look at OJ. Lots of people, you know, kill people. But O.J. was all over the place. Why? Because people were interested.
That is true.
All right, so that's enough politics.
Yeah. It's hard to avoid, because we talk about conspiracies and,
I mean, they tend to tie into the real world.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, so maybe there is a grand conspiracy.
Exactly.
You know, but unfortunately, I think the conspiracy here is money and sensationalism.
Isn't that true?
So tonight, our guest, Richard Van Steenburgh, Humanoid Aliens Live Among Us. Here on Radio Wasteland, so come on back.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves, with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460, with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
This is Diane Hawks at The Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to 4 families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Richard Van Steenberg, and we are talking about humanoid aliens live among us. Richard, do you have you there with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I am doing pretty good. Being that it's Labor Day, I'm enjoying some laborless day.
So,
got to start with the typical question, and that is, you know, how'd you get started in this? You know, what brought you from the daily life of the average Joe to really sort of understanding that humanoid aliens are living among us? You know, where did this transition happen for you?
So, for me, I definitely didn't take your traditional route that most people seem to have gone down. Basically, I wasn't interested in ET and I wasn't interested in UFOs. But what happened to me was I was really interested in air combat, and I would talk to a lot of the fighter weapons instructor pilots about how they would do air combat against, you know, Soviet aircraft and enemy fighters. And as I would talk to them, you know, occasionally I would kind of throw the question out to them, well, what would you do if you ran into a UFO? And they would basically just sit there and they wouldn't comment on it. And I thought it was kind of bizarre because they would spend all this time talking about fighting enemy aircraft. And then when I would bring up a topic about something that didn't seem to me that it would be an enemy, they wouldn't comment on it. So I thought that was kind of bizarre. And then I have a pretty high level understanding of air combat. So some of the other things that seemed bizarre to me is I would ask them if you studied the history of fighter combat, fighter pilots like to fly in a two-ship standard operating procedure so they can provide mutual support for each other, and then they'll expand that out to a four-ship, but they don't like to be operating in a three-ship formation because they can't provide mutual support for each other. And when I would ask them, you know, why don't you fly in three-ship formations, they said it's not possible. And I thought that was kind of bizarre, too. And then another thing I noticed about them is I would see pictures of these same guys that I would meet in magazines and stuff. They would have their hands positioned on their hips, making – I couldn't tell at the time what it was, but it was clear they were making some sort of hand gesture. Well, so over time I started theorizing that if extraterrestrial pilots were, you know, better than Earthling pilots, and if some of them were in a humanoid form – they could come down to Earth and walk among us, and we wouldn't know, you know, we think they're Earthlings, and the first place they would want to end up is at the fighter weapons school where the best pilots are, because they would be better than our pilots. So then another thing that started catching my attention is I ran across a picture of three UFOs in a formation one day, and I started thinking, I wonder if the extraterrestrial pilots understand how to fly in these three-ship formations that the Earthlings don't natively understand how to fly in. You know, they're just a more adept pilot with better fighting tactics. And so I started, you know, theorizing how they would fight in the three-ship formation and be able to provide mutual support for each other. And then as I continued to look at people in pictures, I started noticing more and more people, not only in the fighter community, but also just in public, in the government and in celebrities and all these people, even throughout history and paintings and drawings, and they're all making the same hand gesture. And as I looked at it more and more, I started to come to the conclusion that what they're doing is they're making the letter E, which stands for ET, and they're basically leaving clues all throughout history that they've been here living among us. So for me, without even really understanding what ET and UFO were, I was already into one, humanoid extraterrestrials that have been living among us the whole time. And I was also realizing that when the UFO community, they basically just take this term UFO, which Edward Rupelke and the Air Force gave us, and they basically say that a UFO is an extraterrestrial spacecraft. Well, if you really understand a lot about flying, it's not possible to fly in outer space. Technically, a wing doesn't provide lift up there, so you're using thrust vectoring or some other type of maneuvering and propulsion system. So I started to realize that the term UFO doesn't even accurately describe an extraterrestrial spacecraft because it wouldn't be flying. So as you know, I'm getting out of college back in the 80s, I'm already on a completely different track with HET, humanoid extraterrestrial, and CTV, celestial tactical vehicles. And I had to actually start going back and studying where did all these people in this ET and UFO community start coming up with all this information and what are they describing and stuff like that. So right from the beginning, I had a completely different perspective than everybody else that's describing what's going on.
So, you know, these, you're talking about all this interaction and them, you know, flying and their humanoid aliens live among us. Do they look just like us?
Yeah, I would say that millions of the most famous people on the planet are not from Earth. And it's been going on all throughout history, all ever since the cavemen, they've been living among us.
Right, but do they, like, are they, you know, at the risk of getting on Sci-Fi Channel or something, are they, like, wearing human skin or covering up somehow, or do they actually just look like us?
No, okay, well, so the analogy that I try and when people want to understand what's going on is if you look at the ocean, there's a myriad of life forms in the ocean. I mean, just almost an infinite number. Well, if you look in outer space, basically what you're going to find is a very similar scenario, kind of like the bar scene in Star Wars where there's just a myriad of different life forms out there. But one of the life forms is a humanoid form. Well, so the mistake that the Earthlings are making is that we keep thinking that E.T. is, and he does probably appear in this 3-foot-tall, maybe a green guy with almond-shaped eyes or whatever, you know, this thing you would clearly be able to identify instantly. What the Earthlings aren't realizing is that some of the extraterrestrial beings out there are in humanoid form, and they look just like an Earthling. It's just a humanoid being. So what they don't realize is that when one of those beings comes down to Earth, they can walk among us, and we just think they're an earthling. They look identical. You could marry one and spend your whole life living one and have a child with it and just think you've married an earthling the whole time. They're, except for the fact that they have other abilities, like maybe they could do mental telepathy, and they would also know how to get access to these vehicles to transit star systems back and forth and whatever other capabilities extraterrestrials have, the humanoid form, without them disclosing what they're doing, you just think it's an earthling.
I see.
So I would think most people on Earth have met these people in their lifetime and don't realize it. There's, like, I use an analogy of if the Earth is an airplane, you know, just to compare it. Mm-hmm. On an airplane, the FAA makes you have one flight attendant for every 50 people. So if you have 7 billion people on Earth, using that type of a ratio, because they would have to control the planet and be able to have enough of them down here to keep things functional, there would be more than 10 million, potentially 50 million of them living down here. They'd be in all the different countries, all the different governments, militaries. They'd be all throughout Hollywood, all the business sectors. And the other thing is that because they would come from other planetary systems, they would have access to basically all the technology, where the future is going. They would be the smartest. They would be the most capable. They would know how the Earth is going to evolve. So they would be able to position themselves throughout history to make sure that they're the people. So an easy way is to go back and look at dead people. Like I would say people like Newton, Christopher Columbus, Ben Franklin. Anytime you can pull a name out of a person who's an extremely prominent figure, there's a high probability that that person was a humanoid extraterrestrial living among us, controlling the events on Earth to get Earth to evolve the way that they wanted to evolve.
So is there telling through autopsy or anything like that, or we're talking like it straight up looks like a human?
Okay. Well, so, I mean, I don't get into if you took one of their bodies in terms of technical internal detail as to what would differentiate a humanoid extraterrestrial from a humanoid earthling. What I basically focus on is, like a lot of people, when I bring this up, the first thing they do is they go, tell me for sure who one humanoid extraterrestrial is. And I go, you can't, because they're not going to corroborate it. They won't admit that they're down here doing what they're doing. So instead of trying to pick out one of them, the trick is to step back and look at the whole picture of Earth and understand the strategy of what they're doing and what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And when you see that, you can begin to see who some of the people might be that are these. For example, I use the statement that they're basically at war with us, but they don't fight war the way that we do. They want to control the technology of the planet, and they want to control the way the money flows into the organizations they want. So one of their key things they use is the concept of war. It's like a tool. So all throughout history, all the earthlings think that we're fighting wars among ourselves. What's really happening is that the humanoid extraterrestrials are tricking us into fighting all these wars so that they can control the technology that develops from the war. Then when the war ends, they start another one so they can move on to the next phase, and this has just been going on throughout history. And they even leave clues on the planet so that you can go back in history and see that they're here, because when they disclose to us that they're here, the Earthlings aren't going to want to believe it because it's so bizarre. And they can't imagine that they lived their whole lives and weren't able to figure it out. So in order to reveal to the Earthlings that they've been down here the whole time, they've been leaving clues the whole time. And once you know that, you can start going around the planet and you can see the clues. So, for example, if you look at the two times that the United States has been attacked, Pearl Harbor and 9/11. So Pearl Harbor was December 7th. December is the 12th month of the year, and on the seventh day. 12 minus 7 is 5. The fifth letter of the alphabet is E. So if you were going to then leave a message, you would want to put a message that would also have the letter T with the next major war when we're being attacked. So 9/11, 9 plus 11 is 20. The 20th letter of the alphabet is T. So people hear that, like, there's no way they're going to do something that simple and put it right smack in front of our face. I'm like, yeah, they are. It's that easy for them to do it, and the Earthlings simply don't want to believe it because they can't envision something so large happening right in front of them.
Richard,
and yet once you...
we're coming up on the commercial break. When we come back, I really want to kind of dig into what their intention is, because that's always been one of my biggest questions. You're listening to Radio Wasteland here with Richard Van Steenberg. Come on back.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Richard Van Steenberg. We are talking about humanoid aliens living here among us. Richard, you know, every time we have a guest on that's talking about aliens or UFOs, you know, which is common. It's a huge topic, of course. My biggest question that I always am really wanting a good answer from, and I understand a lot of people don't have a good answer because, like in your case, you're a researcher, you're putting this stuff together, you know, you may not have a straight answer, but what is their intention? You know, why would they even come here? It seems like in your case, they're like manipulating us for control of natural resources, maybe, or something. What do you think the intention is?
Well, so there's, I mean, yeah, I definitely have a theory as to what they're doing. And the hard part for people to understand is most people, when they think of things, they think of, oh, it's Labor Day weekend, I just had a nice weekend, I got to go to work tomorrow. You know, so they're a couple days in the past, they're thinking about today and what they're going to do tomorrow, this like 72-hour window. To comprehend ET and their plan, what they're doing, you have to be able to take your mind back before Earth existed. So that's more than, you know, 4.5 billion years. And you have to understand that there's life going on in outer space. These beings have the ability to create star systems and planets the way that we create housing developments. And they move to the new ones when the other ones die or when their systems expand. And they live in a completely different format than we do, in the sense that when they die, they don't die, just their bodies die. So they can put themselves in new bodies and continue to live on. So that's normal. What we see happening on Earth with people dying is not normal. It's the rare percent that they've told us this is what's happening, so we believe it. We don't realize there's more to life than what's going on. Well, so what they do in this rare case, because normally when they create a star system or a planet and they move to it, everyone on it knows what's going on. In our particular case, they've created a planet. They've essentially, I guess you could say, orphaned us, in the sense that, you know, they created us, so we're from them, but they're not allowing us to take part in their system. They put us down here. They're at war with us, although they're not fighting war the way we do, and they're enslaving us. And so they planned all this before Earth existed. The plan is in play every day as it keeps going forward. And the plan is going to continue to go on even after they disclose to us that they're here. And so what we're going to see once we get disclosure is that there's life on all these other planetary systems with all these other beings all over the place, and they have a hierarchical structure similar to the way, you know, there's poor people and wealthy people and all this other stuff. And the Earthling is a lower-level being in the sense that we're treated or mistreated and being used as slaves for their advantage.
So, but of course, currency doesn't represent anything to them, you know, American or world currency. So is it natural resources? Is it like gold? Is it rare earth elements?
Well, they would create the currencies down here to use it to manipulate us. But I would say that, so the average person looks at the planet and looks at the resources on the planet and how they would be using the Earthlings to manipulate those resources. I would say the single most valuable resource on the planet is a human being themselves. And so, for example, you know how people always wonder, why are the pyramids down here? If you study the history of pyramids and you go back to the gold rush in California back in the 1800s, I think around that era, when a person would find a mine, the way that they would mark that mine, and it was called Mexican claim law at the time, is the person would put a little 3-foot-tall pyramid towards the entrance of the mine, and that would be the sign that that person owned the mine. So if you just take that basic analogy of something we've been doing on our own planet, the reason the extraterrestrials would be putting those pyramids on our planet is to show the planetary identification markers of their star systems to show, hey, we own this planet and we're mining the Earthlings as slaves. And so the problem is that most people who are Earthlings don't think like that. They think of, well, are they taking gold? Are they taking, you know, what mineral could they possibly want to get from this planet that has value? They can create all the minerals. They don't need those. They have ways of getting things that we have down here easily. The single most valuable thing is, if you go back to my theory, that from the first caveman, you've got 20 trillion beings approximately that have been on this planet, and those beings would all be alive on other planetary systems, and they would be continuing to use them as slaves out in the interstellar intergalactic systems. And so when I talk about, you have to be able to look back before Earth existed and see them planning this, what I call like an extraterrestrial architecture out, it's taking place on a day-by-day basis. And when they give us disclosure and we look forward into the future, that's just the plan continuing to go on, and they're going to be using us as slaves in an intergalactic or interstellar level, but at a higher intellectual level. And if you go back at Earth and you look at, remember when we had the slaves in, I think, like the 1800s, and we freed them because the cotton gin could pick cotton faster than the slaves could, and so they all of a sudden became, they weren't valuable anymore, and we needed to free them to make them useful in society.
Yeah, I know that was a factor.
We need
that
same analogy on Earth, where the computer is basically going to be able to think faster than people, and so the people aren't going to be able to perform at the level that the extraterrestrials need us. So they need to raise our intellectual awareness level by informing us what's really going on. So in the sense, they'll probably be telling us we're free, but in reality, we're going to be slaves, but at a higher intellectual level. So if you go back to those people in the 1800s, they thought they were being freed. Well, they were free relative to, you know, being in the United States. They're free, but they're still an extraterrestrial slave on the planet. They're just not aware of it. And so that's what's happening to us. You can look at Earth as like a mirror image of what's going on out in outer space and use examples of the events on the planet to prepare us for what's going on in the future. The problem is that most people find that because we've been raised in a society where we're not told the truth, so our minds aren't prepared for it, and we're not used to thinking in concepts like, oh, 5 billion years before Earth, 5 billion years after Earth, people living among us are from other planetary systems. These are a lot of concepts that are foreign to most people, and you know, try and run it by them. It's just like, wow, you know, that's just too much. I can't believe it.
To be fair, it is totally mind-blowing. You know, I think about this with the government, like I'm supposed to understand about, you know, global nuclear weapons and the economy and all this stuff, yet if my car breaks down, I'm supposed to hire a mechanic because I have a job and kids. You know, it's confusing and it's overwhelming, and you know, I'm even outside of the alien possibility, it is definitely something that I'm sure governments do to manipulate people in order to have them work. So are any of these aliens on our side, or are we really just the sort of, we're the sheep in this deal?
Well, that would be my opinion. I mean, I talk to a lot of people, and I think part of the problem I think Earthlings have is that I've come up with this term, human nature fallacy syndrome, where the average person, they want to hear good news. For whatever reason, I'm the opposite. I look for the worst case scenario first. I want to prepare for that because if I'm wrong and it's a good scenario, it's easy to recover from it. Whereas if you prepare for a good scenario and you're wrong and it's a worst case scenario and you didn't prepare for that, it's extremely difficult to recover.
Hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Pardon me?
Hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Yeah, and so most people, what they do is they hope for the best, they prepare for the best. A lot of people that I talk to about the ET phenomenon are like, oh, there's a lot of benevolent ETs that are trying to help us. And my point is that if that was true, one, this never would have happened. Two, they would have stopped it because no good ET is going to allow this to take place. And so in my theory, basically what it is, there's good ETs and there's bad ETs, just like there's good people on Earth and there's bad people. The problem is that the bad ones are the ones that have the power. And in the end, you may be right, but it doesn't matter if you're right. It's the guy who has the power who's right simply because he has the power and they can invoke whatever they want to have happen. So to me, part of the reason why I put that whole petition together and I'm trying to get people, you know, to be aware of what's going on is that there are things just don't really understand how to function as a group. They don't understand that the extraterrestrials have this ability. They can operate without being in uniform and still be in or out of the military, in or out of the government. They're very dynamic. They're smart. They understand how to operate as a group. The single thing the Earthlings are just failing to do is, and another perfect example is, we identify ourselves nationally. We don't identify ourselves planetally, in the sense that you and I say we're American citizens. Other people say, hey, I'm Russian, I'm Chinese. The reality is we're all on the same planet. We're all Earthlings, but the Earthlings don't identify themselves as Earthlings. So to me, the people on Earth have a couple basic things. If they would go around and start identifying themselves as Earthlings.
Well, hang on a second there, Richard. Hang on a second. We're coming up on our last commercial break here. And when we come back, I would like to run over the things that maybe we can do, like you're saying here, to really sort of understand this and do something about it. You're listening to Richard Van Steenberg here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Hi, Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
One country act is great, but Red Sun Festival is bringing you five country acts on an outdoor stage to benefit car fire relief. It's a full-volume country fest on the Redding Civic Auditorium lawn, Sunday, September 30th, with Farron Rachels, David Lunning, Carly Pierce, Frankie Ballard, and headliners Eli Young Band. It's a huge show with a huge heart. $5 from every ticket, plus all net proceeds and donations from the bands go to car fire relief efforts. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 donated. We promise bars, food trucks, and fun. So check out RedSunFestival.com for details. Rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th on the Redding Civic Lawn. Get tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Redding Civic box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Richard Van Steenberg. We are talking about humanoid aliens living among us. Is it true? We're finding out right now. You know, Richard, so this being the case, what exactly can we do about it? What would your suggestion to the audience be, to people be, to really sort of take control and get out of this situation?
Well, so there's, from the individual perspective, basically what people are doing that's not correct, there's a narrative going around on the planet, and everyone's got their own opinion as to what's taking place. And the reality is that the Earthlings need to take control of the narrative, and primarily the civilian sector, not the military or government, the people who are the civilians. So the first thing they need to do is they need to start describing themselves or identifying themselves as Earthlings instead of focusing on saying, hey, I'm an American, or I'm a Chinese, or a Russian, or whatever country they originate from. We're all on the same planet. We're all on the same team. The next thing they need to do is they need to, the terms ET and UFO, whereas they were helping us 10, 20, 30 years ago, they're actually holding us back now. What we need to do is we need to elevate the conversation to the term HET, or humanoid extraterrestrial, because of all the types and species out there, the only one that can walk among us that we can't identify is the HET. So if people would start bringing that into the narrative and discussing it each day, they would be elevating the conversation level at a higher level than what the government's speaking at. And then the third thing is that they need to realize that these vehicles that they're calling UFOs, the extraterrestrial spacecraft, don't fly. And get into all the other more technical things that they're doing, like vectored levitation and all such stuff. But the key is that if the Earthlings would focus more on trying to understand what flying is and what flying isn't, and stop using the term UFO, not completely, but be more aware of the possibility that these vehicles aren't flying, and when everyone just runs around going, oh, it's UFO, it's UFO, we basically haven't moved one step forward from Roswell in the sense that by using that term, it's not allowing us to comprehend what's going on. And most people you talk to will sit there and go, oh, it's just semantics. It's just you're being too pedantic. You're being too critical. Well, if you look at all the other things we've accomplished, like hovering and rocketing and thrust vectoring, other types of maneuvering in the atmosphere and in outer space, no one has any problem with any of those. But as soon as you tell them they have to give up the term UFO, they can't take it because there's a whole industry. You can make money on it. Everyone's comfortable saying that UFO, you know, basically means extraterrestrial spacecraft. And the reality of extraterrestrials are they're technical. They're more complex. But the more it requires a better understanding of what's going on. And to really understand, you have to be able to use the right terminology and the right concept. So those are the three things. One, identifying ourselves as Earthlings, bringing the term HET for humanoid extraterrestrial into the mix instead of just ET. And then, like I use CTV for celestial TAC-1 vehicle because celestial means they're from the celestial realm, which is anywhere in outer space. They don't have to pin it down to anywhere. TAC-1 is the speed of light, which most people aren't even aware of. Like they're familiar with Mach 1 being the speed of sound, but they don't even realize there's a term for the speed of light. And then it's a vehicle, so you've got another three-digit or three-letter acronym that you could replace it with. And another thing that people don't realize is that they want to be so accurate in the sense that they just want to call it a UFO so they don't make a mistake. There's this thing I have that's called the rule of one in the sense that if you're sitting there saying that extraterrestrials exist and HET are among us on Earth and that they're called CTVs, you could be wrong every single time, and as long as you just get one right one time. So, for example, if everything that was moving by in the sky went by and I called it a CTV, you could sit there and tell me each time you're wrong. Eventually, on one of them, I'm going to be right. And once I'm right forever. But the people who are telling me I'm wrong, they have to be correct every single time forever. So the statistical probability of picking the side of saying that this isn't happening, that this isn't the right terminology, basically the odds are way in the favor of the person who's, you know, trying to use the right terminology and the right concept, because eventually it's like taking a test. All you have to do is get one answer correct and you pass the test. Everyone else has to get 100% on the test forever.
Well, let's say the time comes that we are all aware and that, you know, what does that fight look like? Or is that even a fight? What will our awareness really get us?
Well, I mean, then again, this gets into theory, in my opinion, what's taking place. I think that, one, I don't think they want to come down here. Like a lot of people say, oh, they're going to come down here and slaughter us and obliterate the place and stuff like that. I don't think they want to do that because that's going to create mass chaos and panic. They have to do what I call flipping the planet, which means I think it's going to happen on a Tuesday because between Tuesday to Thursday, you get 3 days in the middle of the week where the most information can be transmitted the fastest because everyone's at work and everything's moving, whereas if you try and do it on a Friday to a Monday, the place slows down. A lot of people aren't at their key positions to transmit information back and forth. But they need to get the planet to be aware that extraterrestrials exist, that humanoid extraterrestrials have been living among us on the planet, that to whatever degree they're going to describe war and slavery and what's going on in outer space. They need to do it quickly, and they need to get the people to accept it and move forward. Otherwise, they're going to run into a problem where they've created this scenario, and they did not maneuver it into position correctly and didn't transition it out. It's sort of like an airplane going down the runway. There's a key moment when that airplane has to pick the nose up off the ground and start climbing away from the runway. Otherwise, it's going to run into a whole other series of problems because it's still on the ground and now it's maneuvering too fast. They have to transition the planet through this disclosure phase quickly, and they've got to make it happen properly. If they have to come down here and start killing people in public in broad daylight, they're going to have mass chaos and panic and revolt on their hands, and nobody's going to listen to anything. They need to be able to have an intellectual dialogue take place on the planet and get the people to understand what's taking place. and remain calm and try and realize the best thing you can do is pay attention and learn, because that's going to give you the best chance going forward at dealing with what's happening. So, you know, my opinion, people who are more aware will see disclosure as it approaches, because they'll be able to get a sense for the signs that are happening. I mean, kind of even get a sense right now, like you look at that the F-18 tic-tac UFO sighting with that Commander Fravor off the Nimitz carrier. That's the first time a UFO sighting has carried mainstream, you know, you can see on Fox, CNN. Normally when people would see a UFO, they would just laugh at it and go, oh, a crazy person's trying to report this, they don't even talk about it. So you can see how they're bringing this stuff into the mainstream and making it more credible and making it more desirable for the public to be able to talk about it without being seen as, you know, fringe elements of society that don't know what they're talking about. And I think you're going to see more and more of that if they're going to try and make it become more mainstream, because they need disclosure to take place rapidly, and it needs to be in a controlled, calm environment. If it gets careens out of control, their whole plan that they've spent all these billions of years working on basically is going to fall apart right in front of them.
Well, Richard, we're coming up here at the end of the show, and I want to give you a chance to tell our audience a little bit about, you know, where they can find out more about you, about this petition, and, you know, where they can get more information about you and your message.
So the main thing is the petition's at extraterrestrialdisclosurepetition.com. It's just all one word, just like it sounds, extraterrestrialdisclosurepetition.com. And then I also have a website, etufodisclosure.com, where you can go and read articles I write about it, talk about it. You can contact me. You know, I'm here to answer any questions people have. Most people find it difficult to pick up on at first. It's just the way that I'm trying to explain it, unfortunately, it's not a simple, easy thing, even though it's down to, I've tried to take it down to just two acronyms, ATT and CPV. But if you really want to understand, you've got to be willing to put the time and the effort in to learn about what's going on. But if people are interested, I'm more than willing here to help. There's no cost involved. You know, to me, when I was trying to learn back in the 80s, there was nobody there to help me. I had to figure this whole thing out by myself, and I so dearly wanted somebody just to sit there and provide some light to take me in the right direction. So the main reason I do it is simply just for those people who really want to understand what's going on and are willing to spend the time and effort. They've got someone they can ask questions to and at least offer them, you know, my opinion and my theory as to what I think is going on.
All right, Richard. Well, we've really enjoyed having you on the show. You've been listening to Richard Van Steenburgh here on Radio Wasteland, talking about humanoid aliens living among us. Come on back next time.
Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out easier, but I've changed my ways. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while you're gonna be mine, I know it. We're doing it in style, 'cause I made my mind up, you're going to be mine. I'll tell you right now, in a book, and I'll be there, all that I can find. Superman or Green Lantern ain't got nothing on me. I can make like a turtle and dive far above in the sea. You can just sit there thinking on your velvet throne, you.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.